Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Zmira Ozarowski, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Pei, 80. In yesterday's Perek, Ayin Tet, 79, Asaf described the terrible destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and asked that Hashem have mercy on the Jewish people. In today's Perek, Asaf continues with that theme, but asks not just for mercy, but to renew our entire relationship with Hashem. We are going to break that request into three parts. In the first section, Psukim Aleph to Dalet 1-4, we have a cry for Hashem's physical protection of Bnei Israel. They start out by calling out to Hashem, and they say, Pasuk Bet, Ro'eh Yisrael, Shepherd of Israel, Ha'azina, listen. Nohei Katzon Yosef, you who lead Yosef, representative of Bnei Israel, like a flock. Yosef HaKruvim, Hophia, you who are enthroned upon the Kruvim, shine forth. Asaf cries out on behalf of the people, addressing Hashem as the Shepherd of Israel, a title that we have seen in the past few Mizmorim, highlighting Hashem's role as a guide and his responsibility to protect his nation. The Malbim explains this verse in three parts, Ro'eh Yisrael Hazina, Shepherd of Israel, listen, in the past, Bizman Ha'avar, Hayita Ro'eh Otam, U'malei Kol Tzarcheihem, you used to guide us and provide your people with every need. Nohei katzon Yosef, you led them like a flock among wolves. Shanahatem katzon bein ze'evim v'lo pachadu, and they had no fear. Even in dangerous times, your presence ensured their safety. And finally, Yosef hakruvim hofia, you built the Beit HaMikdash, v'banita lehem mikdash, v'shachanta bein badei ha'aron, and you dwelt between the poles of the Aaron, al hakruvim, from within the Kruvim, v'chein hofia gam atab v'vinyan ha'mikdash, and may your presence shine forth again in the building of the Beit HaMikdash. We ask Hashem to restore things to how they once were in past generations, when Hashem led us like a shepherd, and he took care of all of our needs, and we didn't need to be afraid. And when he built the Beit HaMikdash, and his Shechina was so very present there, in between the Kruvim and the Aaron. Pasuk Dalet, we reached the Pizmon, the chorus which will be repeated with slight variations three times at the end of the three sections in this Mizmor. And we say, Elohim, Hashem, Hashivenu, return us, v'ha'er panecha, shine your face, v'nivashaya, so we will be saved. The main idea in this Pizmon, in this chorus, is that a relationship is two-sided. And in order to restore our relationship with Hashem, we both need to take action. We need to return. Radak explains, Elohim Hashivinu, return us to you. The first step is we need to do tshuva and return to Hashem. But it's a big task, and so we ask Hashem to help us, put us in a position where we're ready and able to take that big step. Hashivinu Elecha Klomar, Hachin Lavinu Elecha, Hashem, prepare our hearts so that we can do tshuva. Va'er Panecha, shine your face upon us. The second step is for Hashem to come back to us. When Hashem is angry, he hides his face, and when he's pleased, he reveals his presence and watches over us with increased hashkacha, divine providence. Ki v'eta ketzef, this is the Radak, v'eta ketzef hu mastir panim, when he's angry, he hides his face, u'v'eta ratzon me'ir hapanim, his face shines when he is happy with us. We ask Hashem that he should again direct his hashkacha over us. Section number 2, Psukim Hei Techet, 5-8, we now cry out for Hashem to have an emotional connection with him. This section captures the emotional suffering of Bnei Israel, not just their physical pain, but their deep yearning for Hashem's closeness, feeling abandoned yet still pleading for his presence to return. Hashem Elokim Tzvakot Ad Matai Ashanta B'Tfilat Amecha. God, Lord of hosts, how long will your nostrils flare and smoke up? How long will you remain angry at your people's prayer? Asaf pleads for Hashem's compassion, expressing the pain of unanswered tefillot. The people cry out, yet it seems as though Hashem remains distant, withholding his kindness. Even in their suffering, Bnei Yisrael persist in tefillah, but they feel as if their words are being met with silence. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, V'achaltem lechem, you have fed them, lechem dima, you have fed them bread of tears, v'tishkemo b'dimot shlish, and you have given them to drink tears in large measure. The Malbim explains, V'achaltem lechem dim'a, their sadness is so deep, nidme ki'ilu ochlim lechem shel dma'ot, it feels as if their food itself is soaked in tears. The Radak explains, Crying has become a regular, inescapable part of their existence. It's not just an occasional sadness, but it's an unrelenting daily routine, just as though a person eats bread. Chayka adam tamid biyom v'layla. Every day he eats bread in the morning and in the night. Kein hadim'a chikem tamid. Tears are a daily part of the routine every day and every night. Pasuk Chet, verse 8. Elokim tzvakot. This is again, we get back to the chorus, a refrain that's repeated throughout the perek, three different times at the end of each section, expressing the deep longing for Hashem's presence to return. Elokim tzvaot, Lord of hosts, hashiveni, v'inu, return us, va'er panecha v'nivashaya, cause your countenance to shine and we will be saved. The Radak explains here that this pasuk is repeated three times. Kederach ha-mitpalel l'chvod v'rav, somebody who is praying and he repeats himself over and over again, l'chazek ha-tchina, to strengthen his request. Aval v'chol echad yeshinoy ma'at, in every repetition, there's a little bit of a change. And we're going to discuss this more in depth at the end of the parak. Each time, he's strengthening the intensity of his tefillah. Now we get to the third section, verses 9 to 17, Tetzi Yedzayin, the metaphor of the vine. This section introduces a powerful metaphor. B'nai Yisrael as a vine, carefully uprooted from Egypt and planted in Israel. However, this once thriving vine has now become left vulnerable, trampled, and ravaged. Pasuk Tet, verse 9, Gefen mimitzrayim tasiya, you brought a vine out of Egypt, tigeresh goyim v'titaeha, you expelled the nations of Israel and you planted it there. Wait, the vine is used as a symbol of the Jewish people, and its imagery is found throughout Tanakh and Chazal, for example, in Yeshayahu, Ki kerem Hashem tzvakot beit Yisrael, for the vineyard of Israel, of Hashem, is the house of Israel. And there's a midrash in Shemot Rabbah which talks about Lama nimshalu Yisrael a gefen. Why are Bnei Yisrael compared to a vine? And the answer is because the more a vine is transplanted, the more that he's planted in different places, the stronger that it grows. And so too, each exile strengthens Am Yisrael. Sforno explains that Hashem performs an incredible miracle by taking Bnei Yisrael out of slavery and planting them in Eretz Yisrael, where they could really flourish, right? And their fruit is the Torah and the mitzvot. When they were transplanted into Israel, it gave them the ability to really grow properly. Hashem cleared the land for them, allowing the nation to spread, much like a vine taking root and filling the land. Pasuk Yud, Panita lefaneha, you cleared a place for it, but Tishra Shraeh, it took root, but Timalei Aretz, and the vine filled the land. Kisu harim tzila, mountains were covered by its shade, v'anfeha arzekel, and its branches were great cedars. Tishlach tzireha adyam, it sent forth its branches all the way until the sea, v'el nahar yon koteha, and to the river its tender shoots. Right, this glorious vine represents the greatness of Am Yisrael at the time period when they thrived in Eretz Yisrael. However, this idyllic picture is shattered. Pesuk 13, Yud Gimel, we describe a vine abandoned and destroyed. Lama paratzta gdareha? Why have you breached its fences? Va'ruha kol ovrei derech, so that all wayfarers, all the travelers, pluck its fruit. Hashem, who once protected the nation, has now seemingly withdrawn his protection, allowing enemies to overrun the land. Pesuk Yud Dalid, Yicharsmena chazir miya'ar, the boar from the forest gnaws at it. Viziz sadai yirena, and the creatures of the field graze upon it. This symbolizes the brutal enemies who have ravaged Am Yisrael. In Pasuk Tevav 15, we have a plea for divine intervention. Elokim tzvakot, shuvna, God of hosts, return now. Habet mishamayim, look from the heaven, ure'eh, and see, upekad gefenzo, and remember this vine. The Radak explains, Habet mishamayim, look down from heaven, klomar, that is to say, afa pisha tagavoa, even though Hashem, you're so high up, you're so exalted, v'anachnu shvelim, and we're so low, habet alinu, please look at our suffering and restore us. Please do not abandon your vineyard, but once again, tend to it, protect it, and restore its former glory. Finally, in Psukim 18 to 20, we have a final plea for redemption. As the Mizmor reaches its climax, Asaf shifts from despair to unwavering faith. Despite all the suffering, he does not give up on Hashem. V'lo nasog mimcha, and let us not withdraw from you. T'chayenu, give us life. V'vishimcha nikra, so that we can call out in your name. Even in exile and in hardship, Bnei Yisrael remain loyal to Hashem. They do not abandon him. Instead, they plead for the strength to endure and continue calling upon his name. And finally, Pasuk Yud. Again, we conclude with a repetitive chorus. Hashem Elokim Tzvakot. Hashem, our God, God of hosts. Hashivenu, return us. Ha'er Panecha, cause your face to shine, v'nivashea, and we will be saved. Asking once again to restore our relationship with Hashem. Despite everything, the final note of this parak is one of faith. No matter how broken the nation feels, they turn to Hashem, trusting that he will one day restore them. Interestingly, if you look back at the Mizmor in its entirety, you will notice that it's structured in a way that highlights three distinct requests that Bnei Yisrael are making from Hashem to restore his relationship with them. This three-part structure reflects a progression in their tefillah, both in the depth of their requests and in the nature of the relationship with Hashem. Each section ends with a repeated chorus of Hashivenu, return to us, Va'er Panecha, shine your face, V'nivashea, and save us. But each time, an additional name of Hashem is invoked in the chorus. This progression of divine names, starting with Elohim, then moving to Elohim Tzvakot, and finally Hashem Elohim Tzvakot, symbolizes an increasing intensity in their plea. The first level is the most basic. The request for physical sustenance. The Pasuk Elohim Hashivenu Va'er Panecha V'nivashea expresses a simple plea to Elohim, asking for the basic needs of survival, much like a shepherd provides for his flock. This corresponds to the basic human need for food, water, and shelter, our material survival. It is a straightforward request for Hashem's interventions in sustaining us. The second level delves deeper into emotional needs, asking for comfort and connection. The plea, Elohim Tzvakot Hashivenu Va'er Panecha V'nivashea, shifts from mere survival to a deeper, more personal request for Hashem to hear our prayers, dry our tears, and restore our dignity. This plea reflects the emotional need for them to feel Hashem's presence. The use of the additional name Tzvakot emphasizes the severity of this request and the pain of feeling alienated from Hashem. The third and final level is the most profound. The request for Hashem's ultimate purpose to be realized in this world. The longest section of the tefillah reflects not only a plea for personal relief physically and emotionally, but also for Hashem's name to be glorified throughout the world. The imagery of Bnei Yisrael as a vine that has been trampled underscores the pain and suffering they have endured. But their ultimate request is, V'lo nasog mimcha, and let us not withdraw from you, techayenu, grant us life, uvishimcha nikra, and we will call out in your name. Rav Shabtai Sabato explains that this is the highest level of tefillah, where personal needs become secondary to Hashem's greater plan. Here, when we say uvishimcha nikra, our goal is to call out in your name. Hashem's name is not only to be sanctified within Bnei Yisrael, but proclaimed to the entire world. The combination of the three names together, Hashem, Elohim, Tzvakot, in this final level, reflects a mature, complete relationship with Hashem, combining the mercy of the name Hashem, the Elohim, the justice, and the sovereignty of the name Tzvakot. The Dat Mikra notices a difference in the length of the different sections of this Mizmor. The first, shortest, the second is longer, and the third is the longest. And he says this progression symbolizes the growing bitachon of the one who's davening, the growing trust. As the tefillah deepens, so does the confidence that Hashem will answer the tefillah. The more we daven, the stronger our faith becomes, and the more we come to understand our true purpose in life. True tefillah is not merely about asking for what we need, it's really about recognizing Hashem's greater plan for the world and our role within it. This structure of the Mizmor mirrors our own spiritual growth. First, we begin by asking for basic needs. Then, we recognize deeper emotional and spiritual struggles. And finally, we reach a level where we pray not just for ourselves, but for Hashem's presence to fill the world. May we all incorporate these levels of connections into our tefillah and lives, recognizing both our personal needs and the greater purpose that Hashem has for us in this world. Thank you for studying Le'iloi Nishmot Helen Moskovitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Shearit HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day, sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzhak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.